Shabbat Shalom again. And Shabbat Shalom to all those who will be watching with us. Shalom from Israel, our homeland. I wanted to talk about a message today that I think is extremely important, and it's called Rejoice in Yahweh's Sabbath. Rejoicing Yahweh's Sabbath. On Shabbat, we are commanded to rejoice before Yahweh. The Sabbath is sanctified. And that word literally means set apart from the rest of the week. It is a weekly reminder of the millennium and the holy time that belongs to Yahweh. His presence is in the Sabbath in a special way that is not like the other 6 days of the week. And he comes and dwells with his covenant children on this day. As his children, he blesses us to allow us to partake in this wonderful day of peace every seventh day and to enter his rest each Shabbat. We need to be reverent to him due to this fact and greatly rejoice to him each and every Sabbath day. There is a difference to entering Yahweh's rest on Shabbat and simply ceasing from our physical labors. And that's what I want to talk today. The difference. You know, are you really entering his rest? You know, are you just ceasing from your labors? And do you realize the miracle that each one of us get to partake in every seventh day? That's why one of the worst heresies I hate to see is when people fall for something called the Lunar Sabbath. We have a message on that online, the Lunar Sabbath illusion. But it's so grieving because people that are falling for the Lunar Sabbath, they're missing a blessing that's coming to Yahweh's children every seventh day. So let's start at Proverbs 8. And I want to look at this aspect of rejoicing in Yahweh's Sabbath. Proverbs 8, starting in verse 27, he says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a circle on the face of the deep. When he formed the clouds above, when he made the strong fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea its limits, that the water should not pass beyond his commands, when he decreed the foundations of the earth. Then I was at his side like a master workman, and I was his delight day by day, rejoicing before him at every time, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and my delight was with the sons of men. And now listen to me, O sons, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not refuse it." Do you feel this way? Do you feel every seventh day? Are you rejoicing in Yahweh's creation? Are you enhancing the blessing that he's giving you one out of 7 days to enter his rest? To come out of Satan's world, to forget all the cares and the troubles that come in this life, and to literally be able to rehearse for the millennium rule and the things that will be coming. Psalm 149 in verse 2. Psalm 149 in verse 2 says, "Let Israel rejoice in his creators. Let the sons of Zion be joyful in their kings." Let Israel rejoice. Are you rejoicing in your creators every seventh day? Are you really rejoicing? Or is the Sabbath even maybe a burden, you know, of having to get off from work, having to prepare the cooking, you know, doing everything on Friday afternoon? You know, are you enhancing the joy that every seventh day is supposed to bring? Let's go to the Psalms, and let's look at a couple of Psalms that talk about the joy that we should be feeling. And as I'm giving this message today, if you're not feeling this joy each and every Shabbat, you have to start asking yourself some questions. Because it doesn't matter what's going on during the week. It doesn't matter what's happening on those other 6 days. Every seventh day, we are giving the miracle of the blessing of entering his rest. And as we're going to see, if we don't enter that rest, and that rest has to come with joy and thanksgiving, you know, literally, then we're blaspheming the great gift of the Shabbat that Yahweh's giving us. Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation." Who is the rock of our salvation? Yeshua, the rock that followed them in the wilderness. "Let us come before his face with praise. Let us shout for joy to him with songs. For Yahweh is a great El and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The summits of the mountains also are his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Again, going back to creation. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. Are we given the reverence in Shabbat that He requires? For He is our Elohim, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as in the day of strife, as in the day of testing in the wilderness. When your fathers tried me, they tested me, and they saw my work. For 40 years I was disgusted with that generation, and I said, they are a people who err in heart, they do not know my ways, to whom I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. And this is reiterated in Hebrews 3 and 4. We're going to read it during this message. But wow, this is pretty heavy. No rejoicing, no praise, no kingdom. That because they were not rejoicing in His creation. And that's if you look, you know, look at why Israel was cast out of the land. Read Ezekiel 20. Read all the other scriptures in Jeremiah. The main reason that Israel was cast out of this land was that they were not keeping Shabbat. They were not giving Yahweh the proper reverence that He deserves every seventh day. And they were not rejoicing. And if they rejoiced in Yahweh in every seventh day, believe me, the other six are easy. The other six are very, very easy. But if we don't rejoice in Yahweh in this day, if we don't enter that rest, if we don't allow the miracle when sunset comes every Friday afternoon of communing with Him, that He's bringing His presence down to us, in a way that He doesn't in the other 6 days, if we don't allow that to truly internalize in our hearts, you know, we risk even falling away. But praise is the answer to so many things. And you cannot rejoice if you're not praising. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Sing to Yahweh. Bless His name. Bear news of His salvation day by day. Are we bearing news of His Yeshua day by day? Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. For Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all Elohim. For all the gods of the people are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to Yahweh, O families of the people. Give to Yahweh glory and might. Give to Yahweh the glory due His name. How many Sabbath keepers do not even recognize His name, never mind give glory to it? That they're going to come on His set-apart Shabbat, and they're going to bow down and worship a Babylonian deity called God. Very, very sad. Bring an offering and come into His courts. The praise of our lips is that offering. You know, when we come on Shabbat, that's why He says, we're not to seek our own ways. We're not to speak our own words on Shabbat. Shabbat isn't the time to tell us about your car breaking down. Shabbat isn't the time to tell us about, you know, some secular thing you're doing out there. Shabbat is the time to praise Yahweh. To bring an offering of fire, the praise on our lips of Yahweh every day. Oh, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness, verse 9. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns, and the world shall be established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people in uprightness. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Let the trees of the forest rejoice before Yahweh, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. And what is He saying? If His people will not rejoice and worship before Me, His creation will. Because this is all about creation. And I love this psalm because it starts with creation and it ends with the kingdom. It ends with Him coming back to the earth to judge, to give reward. And again, that's what the Sabbath is about. It's about remembering Yahweh's creation, and it's about looking forward to His millennium. It's the redemptive work that Yeshua is doing through us now, preparing us to be not just ambassadors, but kings and priests when that soon coming kingdom is here. Psalm 98, just one page over. A psalm. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm has saved for Him. Yahweh has revealed His Yeshua to the eyes of the nations. He unveiled His righteousness. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen Aleph Tav, Yeshua, our Elohim. Aleph Tav, the first letter and the last letter. I am the first and the last. Behold, I come quickly. Do not seal the words of this book. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, O the earth. Break out and rejoice and sing praise. Are we praising Yahweh of the creation, the beautiful trees, the chickens, you know, the plants, the food, everything that He's creating. Sing praise to Yahweh with the lyre and the voice of a song, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it, the world and those who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the height shout for joy together before Yahweh, for He comes to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people in uprightness. And I've said many times, you can know a lot from a congregation, it doesn't matter the size, but by their praise and worship. And I've been in congregations that were almost 1,000 people, and when you hear them singing, that doesn't sound like worshiping the Elohim of the universe at the top of your lungs. That doesn't sound like being thankful. If you were sitting in a pit of quicksand and you're sinking, and all of a sudden you think you're going to die, and somebody takes their hand and pulls you out and saves your life, you're not going to say,
oh, thank you. Thanks a lot.
No, you're going to be, thank you. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. And that's the thank you that we should have for Yahweh. Psalm 68 and verse 4, one verse. Sing to Elohim, sing praise to His name. Lift up a song for Him who rides in the deserts, by His name Yah. Yea, exalt in His presence. Exalt in His presence. And like I said, do you realize that Yahweh's presence is in Shabbat, not like the other 6 days? And that's why you need judicial order in your congregation, because before you start your service and you're praying for the eternal creator of the universe to come and literally dwell in your presence, what kind of respect are we showing Him? Like I said, you're not showing Him respect when you're coming not dressed properly. You're not showing Him respect when you're coming just as if it's the other 6 days of the week. If you don't look any different on Shabbat than you do the other 6 days, there's a problem. Because this day is set apart. And you're coming before the creator of the universe to rejoice and give Him reverence, praise, to tremble before Him. We've gotten too lax, I'm telling you. The world has gotten lax. The people of Yahweh have gotten lax. Everybody has gotten lax. It's like the 10 virgins. There was a time where they all slept. But now, it's not the time for sleeping. Now is the time for redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And part of that redeeming the time is we have to learn how to rejoice again before Creator and give Him the proper respect that He deserves. It's not just a good idea. You can't give Him praise if you're not giving Him the proper respect. It's got to come the right way. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. An interesting scripture. For all the people here that went to school, you remember we went over this extensively. He says, for this reason, holy brothers, called by a call from heaven, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Messiah Yeshua. And in the Aramaic, that called by a call, literally the word in Aramaic is koria. That's the root of the word. And it comes from the word varikya, the word for Leviticus. So Paul is using a play on words. So when he's saying called by a call, he's saying about Leviticus, the priesthood. Yet, when he calls Yeshua the high priest, he doesn't use the word Kohen. Kohen Gadol. He uses the word Kumira, who is a high priest who's not Levitical. So really interesting how he puts it here. He's saying we are part of this calling, part of this priesthood, but it's Melchizedek, as we know from Hebrews, not Levitical. And does it sink in when we come together every seventh day? Like I said, part of it is praising Yahweh for His creation. Which, man, we could sit here for the 24 hours just thinking of His creation. You know, thinking of all the different birds. You know, when we were down in Honduras, we got to see these exotic birds that you couldn't believe the colors. You know, the pastel colors that were on them. Unbelievable that me and Andy were talking about this, that evolution could never do that. It could never make the beauty in creation that can only come by design. It couldn't do it that way. So here it is. We have such a calling, not just to the creation, but we have a calling by the high priest of the Melchizedek priesthood. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness. So he's called us to be part of this order. And part of entering his rest is our rest from sin that comes by the blood of Yeshua. So on this day, there's so many things that we have to rejoice before him. But clearly, the two things he's showing us from the Psalms we read is creation, you know, and we're part of that creation. The fact that we're here, we should be rejoicing. We're not just a piece of dust that's sitting in your backyard somewhere, you know, getting ready to be blown away. You're actually a piece of creation. And the fact that we have entered his rest. We have entered his rest. You know, we have eternal life dwelling in us through Yahweh's Spirit. We're covenant believers who have had our sins not just forgiven, but paid for by the blood of Yeshua. And we are in anticipation, waiting for that millennial kingdom to come that is so close we can taste it. And every seventh day we should be rejoicing in this. We had 6 days in Satan's world to go through all of the troubles and the trials and tribulations. But now you have this 24-hour period to enter his rest. To commune with him, to talk to him, to pray to him, to allow him to shower down these blessings on you. And if you're not getting the blessings, you're not doing it right. Because he promises us, if we rejoice in this day, we'll be blessed. We are his children. We're set apart for this. It's so important that we got to really let the Shabbat internalize in our souls. We must. It's so important. Revelation 4. Let's look at the reverence that is given to Yahweh. Revelation 4, and starting in verse 1. He says, after these things I saw, and behold, a door being opened in heaven. And I heard the first voice as a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, I will show you what needs to happen after these things. And immediately I became in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and the one sitting on the throne. And the one sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone, and a sardox, and a rainbow was around the throne, an appearance like an emerald. Can you picture this in your minds as I'm saying it, what this is looking like? And around this throne, I saw 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in white garments. And they had golden crowns on their heads. And out of the throne comes forth lightnings and thunders and voices. Wow! And seven lamps of fire are burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. And a sea of glass was before the throne like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion. And the second living creature like a calf. And the third living creature like the face of a man. And the fourth living creature like an eagle. This is the same you see in Ezekiel. It's from the four Gospels or Good News. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew being the Lion of Judah. Mark being the ox, the strength of the man. Luke being the gospel to the nations, you know, showing the humanity, the face of a man. And John being the eagle, the spiritual gospel, the one that soars to the heavens. And the four living creatures each had six wings around and within, being full of eyes, and they had no rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Master Yahweh Almighty, who was and is to come. Can you imagine? No rest day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is their job, to sit there and say, set apart, set apart, set apart. Hodesh, Hodesh, Hodesh. Master Adonai, Yahweh Almighty, who was and is to come. What a job. Whenever the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, to the one living forever, the 24 elders fall down before him, sitting on the throne, and they will worship the one living to the age of the ages, and will throw their crowns before the throne, saying, Master, you are worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because you created all things, and through your will they exist and were created. Shabbat, creation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine one day that we will actually see this? That we will get to go to the throne of Yahweh and see this with our eyes and see what real praise and real worship is. But now, we look through a glass half darkened. So even in these fleshly bodies of flesh and blood, these bodies of wretchedness, he still gives us a spirit that will worship him. A spirit that loves him with all our heart. A spirit that should be able to bow down on our hands and knees and say, Hodesh, Hodesh, Hodesh. set apart to Yahweh, who was, who is, and is to come. Do we feel this way? What is our rejoicing before Him on this Shabbat? How is our praise? How is our worship? Important. I think one of the reasons why this is missing a lot of times in the congregation is because in the time we're living in, the Laodicean era, there's a spirit of murmuring. And we read about it in Psalm 95. I'm going to read it about it here in Hebrews 3 and 4. But there's a spirit of murmuring that comes in at times that people are not entering His rest. And like I said, we all know it's a tough world. We all know that Satan is out there as a roaring lion looking to devour us at every corner. We know that when sunset tonight comes, you're going back to His world for 6 days. We know maybe you can't pay your rent. We know that maybe someone will die. We know you might get sick. We know that anything can happen. But all the more reason to enter His rest every seventh day. It is a miracle, like the manna. It is a miracle that sunset Friday, we can leave this world and enter His rest. I gave a sermon like this many, many years ago before we ever left America. And someone came up to me afterwards and said they were offended that I was saying that. They said, it's impossible to forget your problems Friday sunset. And I told them, oh no, it ain't. Because I went through a time in my life many, many years ago, a horrific time, that within a matter of 2 years, almost like Job, I lost everything. I lost my family, my money, my job. I lost everything. And it was just came so quick, I didn't know what happened. But I'm telling you, when Friday sunset came, I would be there on my hands and knees. I'd light my menorah. I'd sit in my house. And it was me and Yeshua. I was a single man at the time. This was many moons before I married Petra. But I loved it. And I'd go to service and I'd embrace that Sabbath. And I'd go home after services. And as sunset would come, I'd start to cry, knowing I had to go back to the world for 6 more days. And I'm telling you, it was a hard time in my life at that time. But during that 24 hours, I had more joy than you can imagine. And literally, I did not think of any of my problems. I got 6 days to think of those problems. But for 24 hours, I'm telling you, it's a miracle that Yahweh gives us that we can enter His rest every seventh day. We have to. We have to enter that rest because it's a rehearsal. It's a rehearsal for what's coming. And if we can't do it right during the rehearsal, what makes you think you'll do it right when the kingdom comes? 1 Corinthians 10. We have to do away with the spirit of murmuring. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock following, and that rock was Messiah. We just read it in Psalm 95 and 96. Yet Yahweh was not pleased with most of them, for they were scattered in the desert place. But these things became examples for us, so that we may not be lusting after evil, even as those indeed lusted. Neither be idolaters, even as some of them, as it has been written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor should we commit fornication, as some of them fornicated, and 23,000 fell in one day. Neither let us tempt the Messiah, as some did, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither should you murmur, as also some of them murmured and perished by the hand of the destroyer. And all these things happen to those examples, as examples. And it was written for our warning on whom the end of the ages have come. So that he that thinks he can stand, let him be careful that he not fall. And we have to realize that even quiet murmuring is showing dissatisfaction with our Creator. Where we are, where we live, what we wear, what we're doing. Everything is in the will of Yahweh. We talked about this in the last months many times with people like Joseph, you know, not knowing when he's being thrown into a pit by his brothers. You know, he had the patience and the mindset to know that it was all in Yahweh's will that he was setting before to save a nation. You know, we have to have that foresight to be able to see this, the focus that we have. Psalm 23, in verse 1 says, a psalm of David, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you are murmuring, and like I said, it doesn't matter if you're openly murmuring or you're doing it to yourself, because Yahweh hears everything. If you're murmuring, what are you saying? You're saying Yahweh is not your shepherd. Because if Yahweh is your shepherd, we went over this in Kingdom Principles, you will not want. If you're wanting, he is not your shepherd, because the shepherd cares for every last need of the sheep. And if you put your life into his hands, like I said, in my life, very, very few times, I could probably tell you on one hand of things I specifically prayed for to Yahweh that I asked for. Because to me, he knows more than I what I need. So I don't have to sit there for an hour praying for me and the stuff I want. I'd rather be praying for his work, praying for his people, praying for, you know, people that are sick, praying for anything. But if Yahweh is your shepherd, you will not want. And if you're constantly thinking all week long, if your thoughts are on what you don't have, or what you're not happy with, what's going to happen? You won't enter his rest on Shabbat. If Yahweh is your shepherd, you will be content where you are in life. And our focus, not just on Shabbat, but all week long, should be on what we have, not what we don't have. And what person can take that joy away from you on Yahweh Shabbat? You know, you can't come in on the Shabbat and have a bad attitude. You can't come in on the Shabbat not rejoicing. Because it's, if you're not rejoicing, it's not because of my boss who yelled at me, or, you know, my husband or wife who did this, or the children who didn't listen. It's to Yahweh. Because this is his time now. This is time he has set apart to have communion with you. So when you're coming to be with him to get this blessing, he doesn't want to hear what your boss said to you Thursday afternoon. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to give you a blessing. And you have to rejoice to receive that blessing. You got to enter his rest. Like I said, what a gift we have to enter his rest. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to waters of rest. How are your pastures? You know, it's summer in Israel. Everything out there is pretty dry. But you know what? And you were here last year, so you know. When you look at those hills, I never see a dry hill in Israel. Every time I look, I see the winter green. I see what those hills will be like in a couple of months. And that's what he does. He leads us to green pastures if we'll only follow. Now, does that mean there won't be a couple of bumps along the road? Of course not. But it means if we trust in him and he's our shepherd, you will always go to a green pasture. At the end of the road, it will always be a green pasture. And leading you to waters of rest. What does Shabbat mean? Shabbat means to rest. Peace. He restores my soul. What is the Shabbat about? Creation and redemption. Creation and redemption. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Impossible to rejoice and praise any other name but the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. It just is not in Scripture. So Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. We should be totally content in him. And if that's the case, you won't have to work up rejoicing. Rejoicing shouldn't be something that you think about. Come on, come on, come on. It should be something automatic. It should be so overflowing out of you because of what Yahweh has given to each and every one of us. It should be automatically be there. Mark 7, 6 and 7. Mark 7, 6 and 7. Says, in answering, he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it has been written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And praise Yahweh that in the last 10, 15 years, millions of people have been opened up to his Shabbat and are keeping his Shabbat in the holy days and coming back to Torah. And that is a great thing. But at the same rate, you've got many Pharisees that are also coming out of it. And there's people that will be more worried about turning a button on a hot water kettle instead of rejoicing before Yahweh. And I've seen it. I've been around for 30 years. People will want to judge you. You know something? You press that button to make that water hot. You broke the Shabbat. And yet you'll see no joy in their life. You'll see no happiness. You'll see no rejoicing. You'll see no praise. You'll see no love. And that's not Shabbat. Shabbat is not about a lot of do's and don'ts. It's about worship toward the one who saved us. Jude 1:5 says, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it, it's one verse. He says, "But I intend to remind you, though you once knew these things, that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed the ones not believing." And we say, the most amazing miracle Yahweh has ever done in the history of mankind was taking 2.8 million people by His hand out of Egypt. Not with guns and swords, but with a shepherd's staff. Doing every miracle you can imagine. The plagues going to the death of the firstborn. That Pharaoh, the most strongest army and leader in the world, was brought down to his knees before Yahweh. And the Israelites marched out to freedom. And 40 years later, only two of adult age entered the promised land. That's scary. If that doesn't scare you, then I don't know what to tell you. Because it certainly scares me. I don't like those odds. You know, 2.8 million people, two went to the promised land. I really don't like those odds. And why didn't they enter? We just read in Corinthians 10. Murmuring, complaining, not giving praise to Yahweh, not entering His rest. If they simply, every seventh day, would have got on their hands and knees and just gave Yahweh the praise He deserves, if they would have just rejoiced before Him for taking them out of that slavery, I'm telling you, somehow I think that this whole situation would have came out differently. But yet they murmured, they complained, and they didn't enter His rest. They did not enter His rest. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, 9 and 10. Nehemiah 8, 9 and 10 says, "And Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to the people, 'This day is holy to Yahweh your Elohim. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Torah.'" And we know the background situation. You know, they come back into the land, just as we are. The Torah is coming, it's being read to them for the first time, and they were so moved in their heart that they were getting to hear the Torah here at the holy day, they cried. But look what He says to them. He says, "Do not cry or mourn on this day." Then He said to them, "Go eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, set apart to our Master. And do not be grieved, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength or your fortress." The joy of Yahweh is your strength or your fortress. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh. And the time to mourn is not on Yahweh's Shabbat. Even at this time, He was saying to them, this day is special to Yahweh. It's a day of rejoicing before Him. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. See the example. Starting in verse 5. "And Moses is a servant with faithful in all his house for a testimony of the things haven't been spoken. But Messiah as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we truly hold fast the boldness and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Because of this, even as the Holy Spirit says, 'Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts to provoke Him, as the murmurers did in the day of temptation in the wilderness, there where your fathers tempted me, even though they saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware therefore, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart which does not believe, and you will be cut off from the living Elohim. But search your hearts each day until the day which is called the day of Yahweh, that not any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah, if truly from the beginning to the end, we hold steadfast to this true covenant." We have to search our hearts. And if you are not rejoicing in Yahweh's Sabbath, it's only for one reason: your own pride and sin. There's no other reason. There's no reason why we should not. The invitation is there. Yahweh has already taken us into covenant relationship. He gives us the miracle. His hand is before us. All we have to do is enter that rest. Every Friday evening when the sun goes down, He places it before us. Romans 8, verse 31. Like I said, what will you allow, or who will you allow to steal this blessing? It doesn't matter what anyone does or says or doesn't do. Don't let anybody steal your blessing every Shabbat to enter his rest. Romans 8:31. What that shall we say then to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all, how will he not freely give all things to us with him? Who will bring any charge against Yahweh's elect? Yahweh is the one justifying. Who is he condemning? It is Messiah who has died, but rather also is raised, who also is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Even as it has been written, for your sake we are killed all the day, we are counted as lambs for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor cherubs, nor rulers, nor armies, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh and Messiah, Yeshua, our Master. Remember, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Nothing of creation should be able to stop us from entering that rest and giving him the glory every seventh day. Hebrews 4, let's go into the second aspect of rejoicing in the Sabbath and entering his rest, which is also typical of our sins being forgiven and the peace that we get in this day. Hebrews 4, he says, therefore, let us fear, lest while the promise of entering into his rest remains, lest some among you find they are falling short from entering. For indeed we have had the gospel preached to us, or the good news, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing it, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. For we who have believed all will enter into the rest, even as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. For behold, the works of Yahweh were from the very foundation of the world. For he has spoken concerning the Sabbath, and how he rested from all his works on the seventh day. And here again he said, they shall not enter my rest. There was a chance for some to enter it, but they to whom the good news was first preached did not enter on account of disobedience. That's why I said, what is keeping you from this joy? If you're not rejoicing and having this joy every seventh day, you're only keeping it from yourself. He again marks out a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, according to as he has said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua the son of Nun had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken about another day. It is therefore the duty of the people of Yahweh to keep the Sabbath. If we don't, who will? If we don't every seventh day rejoice and give Yahweh the glory as the creator of the universe and give Yeshua the glory for the redemptive work he's done in us, who will? Who will give Yahweh and Yeshua the glory if we don't? That's why he's saying it is our duty as the covenant people of Yahweh to keep the Sabbath. For he who has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as Yahweh did from his. And this isn't just, like I said, it's not just ceasing from the laundry and the gardening. It's ceasing from our human nature. Whatever we are fighting those 6 days of the week, we got to put it aside on Shabbat and enter that rest. We have to enter his glory every seventh day. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, that not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than every two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open to his eyes, with whom we are to answer. We have therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua the son of Yahweh. Let us remain firm in his faith. For you have not a high priest who could not share our infirmities, but we have one who was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace in the time of need. We need to do it. whatever may be holding you from entering his rest. You have to Friday afternoon before the Sabbath starts, get on your hands and knees, pray to Yeshua, the one who died for us, and put it into his hands. Put it into his hands. That's why he's there. He's there for us to see what sin is holding us back and to take it out of the way. It is our duty to rejoice and give Yahweh the praise. Mark 2, 27 and 28. Mark 2, 27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath came into being for man's sake, not man for the Sabbath. So then, the Son of Man is master of the Sabbath day. So like I said, first we're giving the glory to Yahweh and Yeshua as creators of the universe. But secondly, by entering his rest, we're literally the rest from sin that has kept us out of his true rest. Sin will keep us out of his kingdom. And only Yeshua can pay the penalty for those sins. So when we enter that rest every seventh day as the master of the Sabbath day, we want to give him the glory of that rest. Luke 10 and verse 19. Do we realize the great honor that Yahweh gives us to enter that rest? Nothing that we did, as we know his word says, only by his mercy, not our goodness, that he has chosen us to enter that rest. But it is an honor that he has chosen us to enter that rest. Luke 10 and verse 19 says, behold, I give authority to you to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Isn't that really an exciting thing? That snakes and scorpions and nothing can harm you? You're getting the power from Elohim in heaven, all power and authority? And we've even seen it. We've seen miracles like this happen in the Bible. Paul gets bitten by a snake and they're thinking he must be an evil guy. He throws it off and doesn't die, and then they're thinking he's an Elohim. But yet, look what he says. As wonderful as that is, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the demons submit to you. And many times I've cast demons out of people. That's why I say, you have to make sure they have no authority over you. You let them know it. But rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's part of entering the rest. The rest is about the millennial that's coming. The rest is about being covenant people. The rest is every seventh day we practice for that kingdom that's coming. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In the same hour, Yeshua rejoiced in spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and of earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, because it was so pleasing before you. You ever catch that? That he is rejoicing in us. He's rejoicing in us being like little children and being so happy of what he did in our life. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who is the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son may desire to reveal him. And having turned to the disciples alone, he said, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. Walk out here. There's a lot of good people out there. People that are better than we are. And yet Yahweh has chosen us. Why? For his glory. Because the weak of the world, that the proud will be confounded. So again, praise Yahweh that we're so weak that he would call us. But he did call us. And we're here. And we see things. We have eyes to see. We have ears to hear. With people out there don't. And they're mystified at us. They wonder why we do the things we do. They wonder why we're the way we are. And it's because of Yeshua in us, the hope of glory. But he says here that we should never, ever diminish this wonderful gift he's given us. And every seventh day, we have the opportunity to come and rejoice before him for that. Every seventh day, we get the opportunity to allow it to just shoot out from us. We are first fruits to Yahweh. The Sabbath pictures our reward with Yeshua in the millennium. We have 6 days to torment in Satan's system. The seventh day is to rejoice to Yahweh and Yeshua for saving us out of that system. So again, like he says, in the world you will have tribulation. That's a given. So you have 6 days to torment in that tribulation. Don't lose one blessing of a Shabbat in rejoicing before him. Let's go to Psalms 13 And let's look at what the Tanakh says about rejoicing in Yahweh's salvation. Because we are only here by the blood of the Lamb, the one who paid the penalty for our sins through His blood. And let's look what it says. Psalm 13, 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, your Yeshua. I will sing to Yahweh because He has rewarded me. Well, we give in Yeshua the praise and the glory for what He's done in our life. Psalm 20, 5 through 7. Psalm 20, 5 through 7. We will rejoice in your Yeshua, and in the name of our Elohim set up banners. May Yahweh fulfill all your prayers. Now I know that Yahweh saves Hoshua, His Messiah. He answers Him from His holy heaven with the mightiness of Yeshua, His right hand. These trust in chariots and these in horses, but we will make mention in the name of Yahweh our Elohim. And when we sit here and we sing our praise, we sing to Yahweh, we sing to Yeshua. We don't sing to the names of pagan deities that have no power. Psalm 21, a psalm of David. O Yahweh, in your strength rejoices the king, and in your Yeshua how he greatly rejoices. David, the king of Israel, the most powerful man on earth at that time, with all his might, he went with the Ark of the Covenant and sang and rejoiced before Yahweh. And here's a man that had a lot of sorrow in his life, in many different ways, but when it came to the time of rejoicing before Yahweh, there's no greater example in the Bible than King David. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 14. Are we taking for granted the salvation that Yahweh has given us? Are we thanking Him every day of our life, and particularly on the Shabbat, are we rejoicing for Him sending His Son to pay the penalty for our sins? Psalm 118, starting in verse 14. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and He is to me Yeshua. The voice of rejoicing and shouting in Yeshua in the tents of the righteous. Yahweh's right hand works mightily. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh acts mightily. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of Yah. Surely Yah has chastised me, but He has not given me to death. Open the gates of righteousness to me. I will enter in them. I will thank Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter in it. I will thank You, for You answered me, and You are to me Yeshua. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is from Yahweh. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day Yahweh has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Shabbat. This is the day Yahweh has made. This is the day of salvation. 6 days for creation. The seventh day Shabbat. 6,000 years for mankind and Satan and his system. The 7,000 is the millennium. Yahweh's rest. Yahweh's rest. This is the day Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Luke 2. Luke, the second chapter. This is when Yeshua was born. And even in the New Testament, we see the salvation of Yahweh being personified as Yeshua. Luke 2 and verse 21. He says, and when 8 days had passed to circumcise the child, his name was called Yeshua, the name called by the cherub before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, eagerly expecting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it happened to him, having been divinely instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he would see the Messiah of Yahweh. And by the Spirit he came into the sanctuary. And as the parents were bringing in the child Yeshua for them to do according to the custom of the Torah concerning him, even Simeon received him into his arms. And he blessed Yahweh and said, now dismiss your servant in peace, Adonai, according to your word, because my eyes saw your salvation. My eyes saw your Yeshua, which you prepared before the face of all the people, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. How many people in this world in 6,000 years have come and passed? Good people, bad people, and in between. And they never were blessed by Yahweh to see the salvation of Yahweh, Yeshua. how blessed are we to have him in our life? I mean, like I said, it's nothing we did, it's nothing we chose. You did not choose me, but I chose you. No man can come to me unless the Father draws him. And yet, out of all the 50, 60, 70 billion people that ever lived in this world, he chose each and every one of us. He knew us by name. He knew us in our mother's wombs. He watched us from the day we were born until being in this room today. How much glory does he deserve? A lot more than we can even physically give. Our minds can't even concept the glory that we should bring before him. But we got to try. We got to try with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength to rejoice before him and give him the glory that's due him. John 8. Father Abraham, we were talking about this before in the Torah reading of Abraham. John 8 and verse 56. He says, "Your father Abraham leaped for joy that he should see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced." Father Abraham leaped for joy. How old was he? 90 years old, right? Something like that. And yet he leaped for joy to see his day, the master of the Sabbath. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old and you've seen Abraham." Yeshua said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham existed, I am." We know from Genesis 18 and 19, Yeshua, Yahweh, appeared to Abraham. And Abraham knew who he was because Abraham saw him in Genesis 14 as Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. Abraham rejoiced at the day of Yeshua. Every seventh day we must enter that rest and rejoice. Deuteronomy 16. At feast time, Sukkot is coming up shortly. You know, and it's interesting that when you look at the way the world is, you know, you could almost picture that if there is some deity out there that's eternal and created everything and so powerful that basically he would make people to be his slaves, right? That's the way it would seem in this world. You see every despot and people like Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi. But yet it's the opposite. You know, our Elohim did not create us to enslave us. And even during his holy days that are there to show his plan of salvation through the shed blood of his son, he actually commands us to rejoice. He doesn't command us to go out and cut rocks. You know, he commands us to rejoice before him. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. He says, "You shall perform the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your grain floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter and your male slave and your slave girl and the Levite and the alien and the fatherless and the widow that's inside your gates. You shall keep a solemn feast 7 days to Yahweh your Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, Jerusalem. For Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in all your produce and in every work of your hand, and you shall be altogether joyful. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he will choose, Jerusalem, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty, but each with his gift in his hand, according to the blessing of Yahweh your Elohim, which he has given you." And that's virtually impossible, because he's blessed us so much, it doesn't matter what we bring. We could never repay him for the blessings that he's given us. But he commands us to rejoice in his salvation. And every holy day, that's why it's so illogical to think the holy days wouldn't be kept in the new covenant. When all the holy days tell the plan of salvation. Starting with Pesach, the shed blood of Yeshua. Unleavened bread, taking sin out of our lives. Only then can you have the feast of first fruits. Yeshua being the first of the first fruits in the sacrifice. That starts to count to Shavuot. Exactly when you receive the Holy Spirit. Now we're coming to the fall feast. The feast of Yom Teruah, trumpets, when Yeshua will be returning. Corinthians 15:52, at the last trump, he will come. Yom Kippur, right? The Day of Atonement. I will turn your fast into feast, the wedding supper. And then we have Sukkot, which pictures the whole thousand-year millennium. And then the eighth day, a separate feast, is the White Throne Judgment, the last day. They're all there. And you'll never forget them if every year in a circular pattern, like a clock in the sky, you're keeping these feasts. But Yahweh commands us to come there. You know why? Because when we go up to Jerusalem, people want to know who we are. Who are you? You're not Jewish, you're wearing tzitzis. You're wearing tzitzis, you're not wearing a kippah. What are you doing here? And what example are we to the King of the universe if we come up all there sad and moping? But when we come up there rejoicing from the four corners of the earth, we got people coming this year as far as China, South America, America, Africa, Philippines, all coming together and rejoicing before Yahweh for the salvation that He gives us. How wonderful. How wonderful. And like when we stopped celebrating Christmas 30 years ago and people said, oh, how does it hurt you? Or aren't you sad? What are you going to do with your kids? And I said, man, Christmas is one day that people are so stressed out. You have more suicides, more depression during Christmas. We get Sukkot. We get 8 days that we can feast and enjoy, and I'm commanded to enjoy myself. You know, we don't eat a lot of meat, but during the feast it says eat an ox. I don't think I'll eat a whole ox, but maybe have a nice steak. You know, we're commanded to do this. And Yahweh takes joy because when we're rejoicing, we're praising Him. And our attitude is right, and we're giving Him the proper things that we should, the proper reverence. The feast points to the redemptive work of Yahweh, as the Sabbath does, the same way. You know the word rejoice, what it means? Rejoice. We talked about joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit. So when you're rejoicing, you're having joy over and over and over again. Like we said, everything in Yahweh is a circular pattern. So He doesn't just say just to have joy, because that might be a one-time thing. You have to rejoice. You have to keep doing it over and over and over again. Isaiah 66. Verse 22. He says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I make stand before me, declares Yahweh, so your seed and your name shall stand. And it will be from new moon to its new moon, and from Sabbath to its Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Yahweh. Again, circular pattern. Rejoicing to Yahweh and Yeshua every Sabbath, every week, every new moon, every month, and every Sukkot, every year. Circular pattern. Circular pattern that we do here. And we talked about the new moon, you know, being a blessing that we can have it as another set-apart day to Yahweh and rejoice in it for His creation. But He tells us in the millennium, every Sabbath, not just the few now, but all the earth. How does that make you feel? That the same way Yeshua was the first of the first fruits, we are also a type of first fruit, we're called in Scripture. That now there may be one of us for 1, 2, 5 million out in the world, but in that day, every person on the earth will come and give Him homage and reverence and glory. How wonderful. Isaiah 56. Starting in verse 1. It says, so says Yahweh, keep justice and do righteousness, for my Yeshua is coming, and my righteousness will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, keeping the Shabbat from defiling it, and keeping his hands from doing every evil. When we don't rejoice before Yahweh in His Shabbat, do we realize we're defiling it? Even if you're not saying a word, by simply coming before Him with a bad attitude, you know, the Bible says in Corinthians 14:34, we all come to give a psalm, a song, rejoicing. If we come and we just stay quiet the whole Shabbat because we're in a bad mood, we're literally, you know, we're defiling it. We're commanded to rejoice before Him. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, keeping the Sabbath from defiling, keeping his hand from doing every evil. And do not let the son of the foreigner speak, he who joins himself to Yahweh, saying, surely Yahweh separates me from his people. We've heard that, right? This is only for Israel. He's saying right here, don't let the Gentile, the foreigner, say, I'm separated from Yahweh's people. And do not let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For so says Yahweh to the eunuchs, or the righteous ones, who keep my Sabbaths and chose things I am pleased with and take hold of my covenant. Even I will give to them in my house and my walls a hand in the name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. And the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve Him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and takes hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. States Adonai Yahweh, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will yet gather others beside Him to His gathered ones. So here's the reward for coming and rejoicing before Yahweh. He will give us a name better than sons and daughters. It's for every covenant person, and it is a requirement. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Yahweh, you are my Elohim, I will exalt you. I will thank your name, for you have done a wonderful thing. Counsels from afar, faithfulness. Drop down to verse 6. And Yahweh of hosts shall make a feast of fat things for all the people in this mountain. A feast of wine on the lees and of fat things of the morrow, refined wine on the lees. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people, and the veil that is woven over all nations. He will swallow up death and victory, and Adonai Yahweh will wipe away tears from all faces. And he will reprove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken. And one shall say in that day, behold, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his Yeshua. Are we rejoicing every Shabbat day in our salvation? Are we rejoicing in the Master of the Sabbath? Leviticus 23, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus 23, 1 through 3. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, shall be these. These are my appointed feasts. Work is to be done 6 days, and on the seventh day shall be a Sabbath of rest, a holy gathering. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. And we know that after it mentions the other holy days, it mentions it again, that the Sabbath is set apart from the other holy days, even though they're in the same chapter. It's set apart for being set apart, as you could say, even more special. But what's interesting there, he says you're to have a holy gathering on this day. And that word, mikra, can also mean rehearsal. So instead of just a gathering, it's a rehearsal. So every seventh day, like we said, we're rehearsing for his kingdom. Every seventh day, we're rehearsing for the wedding supper of the Lamb. So it's not just a day, like I said, to cease from doing gardening or doing cutting the grass or laundry. It's literally a day to enter his rest. It's such a blessing that is there he wants us for. Let's go to Revelation 19 and let's look at what this day is representing. What are we rehearsing for every Shabbat day when we come together? Revelation 19 and verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of a large multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! The salvation and the glory and the honor and the power of Yahweh our Elohim. Drop down to verse 4. And the 24 elders, we read about them before, and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped Yahweh, sitting on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne, saying, Praise our Elohim, all his servants, and the ones fearing him, the small and the great. And I heard as a sound of a numerous crowd, and as the sound of many waters, and the sound of strong thunders, saying, Hallelujah! Because Yahweh Elohim Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and let us exult. And we will give glory to Him. Because the marriage of the Lamb came. And His wife prepared herself. And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen. Pure and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are the ones having been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These words of Yahweh are true. Do we realize that every seventh day when we enter that rest, this is what we're rehearsing for? We're rehearsing for the day that Yahweh willing, we will literally be there at that wedding supper and be part of that ceremony. Last scripture I want to go into before ending here is Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Revelation here again. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your humility be known to all men. Our Master is at hand. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things, and the Elohim of peace will be with you. We have so much to rejoice about. We must focus on all our blessings on Shabbat that Yahweh has given us, and most of all, the blessing of our salvation through Yeshua Messiah, our Master. When we think about the love that Yahweh has for us, I had a great message from Andy last week on love that we'll get to hear again in Sukkot. But when we think of the love that Yahweh has for us, that He poured out for us, and here it is every day of our life, we need to thank Him and pray and study and do all these things. But on Shabbat, it's in a different way. Shabbat is set apart time that He's setting apart from the other 6 days. And like I said, He's literally coming down. He's dwelling among us. And that's why we have to give Him the proper reverence that He deserves. We have to get our mind in the proper perspective, so that we can worship Him in the way that He deserves. And again, Yahweh's worship, it's not vain, it's not pride. He doesn't want us to worship Him for Him. He wants us to worship Him for us. Because if we don't put Him up here and us down here, we will never have the humility to worship Him. You know, I'm going to give a message at the feast on pride. And all pride is a false self-worth. So by giving Yahweh the proper reverence here and putting ourselves down here, it simply puts things where they should be. It gives the proper perspectives and gives us the opportunity to serve Him the way we should. So I pray that this message is a blessing to you. And I pray that from here on in, we can really, really focus on the Shabbat, that we can every week come before Him with praise and thanksgiving, that we can rejoice for what He's done in our life, and just give all the praise and glory and honor to Yahweh our Father and His Son Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom from Israel. Goodbye.